that this is such a humble resting place for the King of Kings, is it not? Can you imagine? I know we wouldn't have put our babies in a place like this, I don't think. First night with number one at my parents' home in Victoria, our son did end up in a drawer because we hadn't planned on the trip to Victoria for other care. But that's a pretty humble place. And yet, the story that we're talking about tonight is a fulcrum on which all of human history pivots. Ralph Waldo Emerson said this about Jesus, that maybe not so much his name is written through history as it is plowed into the history of the world. So much of our world has taken shape because of the coming of Jesus. And yet many of the people who participated in that Christmas story were very humble and normal and average folks. I kind of wonder if that's where we're at a little bit tonight. I don't know what your day looked like. We avoided the mall and the stores today. Hope you were able to as well. But we did have fun visiting with friends, and we saw there was lots of things being prepared, turkey being stuffed and so forth. I even saw Dan cleaning out the dishes as well. So, you know, that's humble participation, right, in the day-to-day stuff. And then here we are, you know. We come into this kind of a setting, and we all of a sudden slow right down, hopefully, and we think about what does this mean? We've got some lovely music, and we've got some special feeling of being together and the beauty of the candles and so forth, but what does it mean for, you know, our day-to-day lives? And that's kind of a question I've been asking our church to wrestle with this Advent season. We've been going through some Adventitudes. We've talked about confident unity, humble availability, victorious sincerity, sacrificial generosity. See, because Adventitudes, they're not just little gimmicks. They're not just superficial self-improvement tricks. God wants to change us. We could have Adventitudes like this. Blessed are they who give up a good parking spot at the mall, for they shall get more exercise. We could have that kind of an Adventitude. Or blessed are they who drop quarters in the Sally Ann kettle, for they shall feel good about themselves. We could have that kind of, you know, feeling of self-improvement. But what God wants to do in our lives is to change us and transform us. And it really begins with this amazing story. There were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them. The glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. I don't know if you feel maybe like one of the shepherds. We could maybe call them the blue-collar people of their day. They were under the weight of their work. They were probably working very hard and very long hours, and probably not very impressed, as we often are not, at the taxes that were put upon them and some of the expectations of the rulers. You know, they were kind of marginalized. But here they were, just going about their business, and then all of a sudden the heavens opened up. And the angel spoke to them. Even we have, usually we think of a choir of angels. It doesn't actually say that they sang, but it certainly makes sense that they would sing out this amazing message that the Savior had been born, that Jesus had been born. And yet, where was he lying? He was just lying in a manger. And it's most amazing to me that these humble, blue-collar, working-class guys would be brought to something so familiar to be told a story that completely blew them out of the water. A couple months ago, or a month and a half ago or so, I was over at Columbia Bible College in Abbotsford, and I really appreciated what one student said just as an invitation into the Advent season. He said, "As we gather in this place, let us come together as one body, expressing our longing for Jesus Christ. Let us turn our hearts toward the coming Messiah, the one whom we have long awaited. Let us find ourselves in the midst of an active longing, saying, 'Come and transform us, Lord Jesus.'" You know, these shepherds, being as they were in that Jewish context, with all the oppression of the Roman Empire pressing down upon them, they didn't have their independence, they were struggling, they had an active longing for a Savior to come, for a Messiah to come. But when they heard this message, it seems like that active longing, that hunger in their hearts, was now turned to a sincere seeking. And that's the Adventitude I'd like to send you home with this evening, this idea of a sincere seeking. As they took in all of what was happening, and they were trembling before the angels, and they were struggling with what they just as witnessed, what was their conclusion? Well, let's go and see this. Let's check this out. Let's investigate this. Let's learn more about this. And as they did, their lives were never the same. They were transformed. They were changed because they met Jesus. It was a change from gloom to glory. It was a change from the mundane to the miraculous. Think of how their lives were just kind of average and normal, and they were maybe just going through the everyday grind. But now there was a new purpose. Look at already, they had only just met Jesus, and now they were going around telling other people about Jesus. They had a brand new purpose in life. It was a change then from just existing, just going through the motions, to engaging, to really having the life of Jesus inside of them. And it was also a change from terror to trust. It was a change from what is going on to now knowing what is going on. Jesus Christ had come, and they came and worshiped before him. I don't know what your life feels like tonight. You know, if you could strip away the busyness, and maybe some of the moms especially, they're probably like, okay, did I put the turkey in? Oh, wait a second, the stuffing, you know. And you're going through all of that. If we could set that aside, and if you could just think, how have I been feeling lately? Some days I feel very much like the weather around us, right? Like sort of that sense of gloom. And I did see this bright, shiny orb in the sky. Did anybody else see that today? That was amazing to see. I think they call it the sun, right? Well, the Scots have a word for days like we've had of late. Maybe not so much with the wind, but they have this word, drake, and it means cold and wet and dreary and gloomy. And I'm wondering if that's sometimes how we feel, maybe like the shepherds, just kind of going through the motions. But God wants to break into your life. God wants to push away the drake and bring a delight in him. He wants to say, come on, come and meet my son. Just come. Come in the familiarity of where you live, what you're doing, what's going on in your life, but meet the one who will transform your life. Of course, we don't just have the manger here tonight. We very deliberately have the cross here because, of course, Jesus' purpose was to come as a humble baby so he would even more humbly and more sacrificially die on the cross for your sins and for mine. John Ortberg says in his book, Who is this man? he writes this, maybe Jesus was just a sympathetic figure who happened to come along when Roman infrastructure was good and Greek philosophy was undermining the gods, when paganism was dying and social systems were collapsing, when stability was down and anxiety was up and gullibility was strong. Maybe it was just dumb luck. Maybe Jesus was a kind, simple, innocent soul with a good mom and a knack for catchy sayings who showed up in the right place at the right time. Do you think it was just dumb luck? Now, we have a pretty clear understanding from God's word, especially Galatians 4, verse 4. God was very decisive and very definitive when he sent Jesus to this earth. When the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. You see, if you go away with that attitude that I encouraged you, the eventitude of sincere seeking, that is the only right response, because God is the one who first came to seek and to save us, to rescue us from sin through the birth of his son. Let's think about that this evening.